Welcome to the Navigating Dental Insurance Podcast, where we don't take from insurance companies. Here are your hosts, Mr. Jordan Comstock and Mr. Ben Tuineg. This podcast is sponsored by BoomCloud Dental Membership Software, www.boomcloudapps.com, and Veritas Dental Resources, www.veritasdentalresources.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Navigating Dental Insurance Podcast. I am your co-host today, Jordan Comstock. Sadly, Ben is not with us. He's been a busy, busy man. Ben Tuineg, that is. But today I have a special guest. His name is Ben Shaver, a good friend of mine. We met. Ben, where did we meet? Did we meet in through Mary Fisher Day?
I think we met at one of Mary Fisher Day's events.
Was it in Texas or North Carolina, probably?
It was in North Carolina, and then we got to spend some time together at the Hinman.
Sure.
That's what.
And then I just recently was speaking in North Carolina last week, and we right before I left to the airport, Ben and I met up at a Barnes & Noble at a random mall in North Carolina. At least it felt random.
That makes
to me.
It sound worse. Yeah, but yeah, that's what we were.
We hanging out at Barnes and Noble, and we're like, let's do a podcast. So that's I brought Ben on today to do a podcast.
We used social media to connect, and that actually made a human connection.
That's right. Because I posted, I think, a picture or something, and said I had an awesome time speaking in North Carolina, and then you messaged me. So But for those of you that don't know Ben, he is fantastic. He's you've been in advertising for 20 years, and advertising.
Yep, that's pretty much selling ads locally for 20 years.
And you are the owner and founder of Dental Inbound, a multi-channel advertising company that delivers ads for DSOs, solo dental offices, and specialists, which is pretty cool. And then to date, Dental Inbound has run over 9,500 campaigns for over 100 dentists, delivering over 118,000 new patients. That is so cool. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I mean, we actually started tracking that a while back, and then we had to do a little bit of that to average it out. But we've been more contained, you know, in North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia. So now that we've really started to launch more nationally, hopefully we'll get those numbers up even further.
That's fantastic, dude. That's really cool. Yeah. So Ben and I had an awesome conversation at the Barnes & Noble in North Carolina. Right?
We're both big readers.
Yeah, I bought a book there. And we were talking about marketing. Honestly, we were talking about the importance of marketing for these practices, at least that listen to this podcast and that are clients of Boom Clouds. They want to reduce dependence on PPOs, and marketing advertising is definitely the way that they need to go. So we had this fantastic conversation there. So we want to bring it to the podcast and kind of continue our conversation. So the biggest thing that I think you're unique because you choose to focus more on advertising than marketing, right? But for those people that may think that they're pretty much the same thing, can you explain the difference between why you choose advertising and why you focus on advertising over marketing?
I mean, the biggest thing back when, to give you a little bit of my background, I did, you know, newspaper sales for, you know, my university newspaper when I was in college, sold TV ads when I got out of college, and started an ad agency back in 2005. Where we had, you know, home builders, car dealers, RVs, HVAC, that type of thing. So the economy obviously took a lot of that away, but I sort of backed into dentistry. I think like a lot of us in the business side of dentistry did. And it was at a time where the internet was becoming more prominent, and these dentists that did a lot on the yellow pages or did a lot of yellow pages weren't sure where to go. And I had a couple clients that were doing radio campaigns, a couple were doing TV, a lot of them did print. But I started working with this Patterson rep, actually. She got me into it and started just making connections and learning what I needed to do. And really got a good feel for online marketing, did a lot of research, went to a lot of conferences. So, but to get back to the question, marketing back in 2010, that kind of was the blanket statement that everybody could say.
Yeah.
And I was doing more advertising.
I still say it.
Yeah. And so it encompasses so much, especially today with everything online.
Totally.
And, you know, so for the first few years, we really, well, really for like the first 5 years, we ended up doing more marketing than we did advertising. And what that meant was, you know, instead of just running ads and getting lead generation and getting patients in the door, you started to do more promotional items, or clients wanted to sponsor more events. And all this just kind of rolled into quote unquote marketing. And the budget that was, I don't think you can see me doing air quotes here, that was designated for advertising started becoming more, you know, we want to spend money on these things that maybe don't generate new patients as much. And so we kind of said, all right, if we focus more on advertising and we focus more on service campaigns, in other words, if somebody wants to get more implant patients, or in this particular case, they want to switch over more, you know, fee for service and not be as dependent on insurance, that we could put these campaigns together and really knock it out of the park, because we're not spending money on the you know, rug out front, that the purple may not be the right color. So once we did that, we saw a lot better results as far as clients being satisfied, getting those 30, 50 new patients a month in that they really wanted. And we do it more multi-channel. Since I have an advertising background, I'm not scared to go do, you know, direct mail. I'm not scared to do a radio campaign. But I do, we kind of focus everything into quadrants. So if you look at the left side of a quadrant, and this is very important for dentists or any really local, hyper-local business, there's branding on one side and advertising on the other side. At the top of this, there's high value, and at the bottom is low value. So the reason that we just don't, when somebody calls us and like, hey, I'd like to run a direct mail campaign, we're like, well, let's talk through this, because that's not exactly what we do. We try to figure out what medium's going to deliver the message, you know, what your market wants. And so what we do is we look at what people are the most afraid of. So a lot of people think in dentistry that the reason people don't go to a dentist is because they're scared, and it's actually cost. And
So I got a quote, a comment on this. So just today, we're going around, I'm going around with my team, my videographer over here at Boom Cloud, and we're going around talking to random people about why they don't go to the dentist.
Like, a lot of your people don't do it, I'm sure.
We're going to the mall. We're going to restaurants locally and just asking random people.
Gotcha.
A lot of people think that it's too expensive and it's a financial thing, right? With and then they, if they don't have dental insurance, they think that they can't go, right? So there's my comment there for your comment.
And I actually, you know, keep up with this because I want to know in that scale, because the last article I saw, the ADA actually put this out. That cost and low perceived need are the top reasons why adults indicate that they don't intend to visit a dentist in the next 12 months. The biggest thing about that, though, is it says this is true among adults of all ages and income levels. I think a lot of people think it's only, oh, they don't have the money to go to the dentist. No, they want to go. They just want to know what it's going to cost. So,
yeah.
That's,
I mean, when I was speaking in North Carolina, that's what I have slides that talk about, you know, the reasons why patients don't go to the dentist. And a lot of the times it is cost. And don't, I wouldn't feel as a dentist, I wouldn't feel like that you're too expensive. It's just sometimes it's unclear, right, for the patient. And what happens, I mean, in sales, they teach us if something's unclear, they're probably not going to buy, right? So a good tip for your practice is to figure out how to make your pricing more clear for the for patients, and they can understand what's going to cost them, and there's going to be less like fear of, you know, heavy big financial costs, right? So keep it simple. Try to figure out ways to make your prices clear to patients. That's my tip. Sorry, you can keep going, Ben.
No, I think that's exactly right, because if you really honestly think about it. Imagine if you walked into Target and there was no prices on anything.
Yeah, people probably wouldn't buy, you know, near as much.
Well, you would definitely buy less, right? You would have no idea. And I think people feel that way when they go into the dentist or the eye doctor.
Yeah.
When it's not clear and I don't know, you might run up a $500-$600 bill on me and I don't know that till I get to the front desk.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I think it's a huge deal letting people know clearly up front, even in advertising, what is your commitment to this? Because like you were talking about in sales training, they always teach us, they're like, look, for somebody to choose you, they have to not choose everybody else.
Yeah.
And in dentistry, they also have to not choose going to have drinks with their friends or coaching their kids.
Or a trip to Hawaii, right?
Right. Or, you know, there's so many things you want to do during the day that you don't get to. And then there's all these things that life makes you do.
Yeah.
And so you have to be realistic about where you fall on that scale.
Totally. Totally. I agree.
But back to the quadrant thing I was talking about.
Sure. Yeah.
It really does get into, you know, if somebody's going to do a branding campaign that's low value, you're not going to get out of that what you want. And that gets into patient acquisition costs and all these other numbers that I talk about with clients. But really it's you've got to advertise what's going to bring in patients and know what it is that they're afraid of.
So absolutely.
That may be the long that one, but
cool. No, awesome, dude. Appreciate that. Okay, so my second question here for you is, what are some of the challenges that you've seen out there that you run across when trying to launch a campaign, and how do you personally overcome them?
Yeah. I mean, there's several. I think a lot of it on the front end is fear. So it's hard to get somebody that hasn't either really run a lot of advertising, like okay, a startup or somebody that
sure
that's acquired a practice, or somebody that's done some marketing before and felt like they got burnt, you know, so they're on high alert and we haven't really had a chance to build a relationship with them or show results. But that fear trickles over to messaging, and messaging is by far the biggest issue in advertising a dental practice.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we have messaging and call to actions laid out. I mean, we've been doing this now for 10 years. So I was sitting down with my team. We had 170 call to actions that we've done over the years. We kind of score them out to see how people respond to them in different areas and that type of thing. And now that's limited to back down to probably like 70 some. But we do that because we know it's probably going to work better than others. And we may test several to see. But if somebody comes to me and they say, well, we just want people to know that we're there. And I get that a lot. There's, you know, we don't want to really send out any type of call to action. It's tell them we have a friendly staff. Well, nobody really thinks that you're the dick's last resort of dentistry. Nobody thinks you're going to be angry and mad at them. And in all honesty, they're going to read reviews and they're going to know if you're rude and not nice. So it's almost a waste of money. And back to that patient acquisition cost. Say we do direct mail and it's low value branding, such as, you know, tell them we have a friendly staff. If the direct mail is $2,700 and you got three patients out of that, that's $900 a patient. I mean, nobody wants that, right? But, and to me, this is by far the best campaign out there, but the $99 new patient special, everybody hates this. And I'm sure some dentists are, you know, driving off the side of the road listening to it. they always feel like that devalues them. And it really doesn't. It actually, if you get them in there off of that $99 new patient special, which is the by far best campaign to do that, then you have an awesome opportunity because you know they don't have insurance, right?
Yeah.
Then you can sell them that dental savings plan and start getting recurring revenue. I mean, tell me any business, you know, small business that they can really just get that geared up and do that and grow that.
Yeah.
And that would be,
I mean, if you ask me, I mean, I may be a little bit biased, but recurring revenue is probably the most important type of revenue stream that any type of business, including dentists, could generate for the business, right? For the practice. So, you know, by focusing on advertising a dental savings plan or membership program or whatever you're calling it, right? Wellness program. That's a great way to just, you know, stop the bleeding with, you know, the dental insurance companies cutting your profit margins. You know, I had a call right before this, Ben, of a consultant that is consulting this giant practice. And last year they had like, what this consultant reported me, that they had like close to $1 million in write-offs last year.
What?
This big, I think it may be a multi-location is what it sounded like.
Yeah, half, gotta hope it'd be.
I hope it'd be. Nobody had made any money if that was the case, except for the insurance company. But you get these dental insurance companies that are controlling the market and the controlling the practice's profit margins, and you're getting more and more, you know, practices signing contracts with PPOs and then finding out later that, oh, this is a bad move because of all the stress and complication, the red tape, and the profit margin decrease. And really, all a practice needs to do is set up a membership program and focus on advertising and growing their program, right? Because not one of their other products in the practice will help them generate a predictable recurring revenue stream. Sure, you got, you know, bigger cases that are fantastic to do, right? That drive, you know, large sums of money into the practice. But in my opinion, you got to have what they call, you know, I totally spaced the word right now, but it's just a program that keeps people coming and a program that keeps revenue flowing in every month.
Yeah, it keeps them engaged, yeah. Keeps them wanting to come back, you know, to see you, kind of makes them feel locked in.
Yeah, a continuity program is what I was thinking of, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean,
and obviously practices have somewhat of a continuity program through their hygiene department. But in my opinion, it could be taken up a notch through the membership program where you're collecting yearly and monthly fees, right? And actually collecting that cash flow as it comes in automatically every month versus whenever the patient feels like coming in, right?
Well, yeah, so, I mean, I have a subscription to Hulu that I think is maybe $10 a month. But
I have one too.
Just file it back of their head. And I think back to that $99 new patient special that everybody hates.
Sure.
You know, the point of that is to get them into your practice, give them a great patient experience, you know, and that make sure you can sell it. Actually sit down and say, you know, we really appreciated you coming in today. We really enjoyed you. We hope that we can make this your dental home, as corny as that sounds. But and then tell them this is only going to cost you whatever it is, $30 a month or $35 or whatever it might be, and explain the benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I mean, I'm with you that the $99 special is just to get people in the door, right?
Well, and this is not new.
Yeah.
I've been pushing dental savings plans since 2011, but actually with the HVAC companies, the heating and air companies I worked with 15 years ago, they do the same thing. I mean, think about it for
absolutely.
A second. You need maintenance twice a year. You can decide whether you need to do that or not. Well, the summer, there's an emergency, you're immediately calling the guy that you're talking. So they do these maintenance plans and they do them because they want revenue in the off season.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And you have to have that. And we all know that dentistry has off seasons, right? We know Sucktember exists, right? Everyone calls it Sucktember. Yeah. Right now in Utah, I don't know over in North Carolina, but so my brothers and my dad, they run the dental lab, right? And right now the market is very slow for them in dentistry, right? And they're like, all the dentists, you know, are taking it off, or they're just not busy because patients are on vacation. Summer, you know, it's summer, and in Utah we've had a horrible winter, so everyone's like, you know, great, it's summer, let's go play, right? It's summer, let's go
get
play.
Away from it. Yeah.
So, but it's causing some feast and famine months, right? And I'm sure practices here, they're not. I mean, I was at one this morning, and he's like, I haven't been busy for weeks, right? But imagine if you had, you know, a good amount of recurring revenue coming in, and during those off seasons, you've kind of smoothed out the demand. So it's not like up and down.
If you had, and I don't know, again, pricing on all this, but if you had 500 people under that plan at $30 a month, I mean, think about how much money that is each month.
What was that, 15 grand?
Yeah. You're going to cover your overhead, I mean, and then some. So, it depends on your practice, of course. But
it does, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would love to have that.
Yeah. That's exactly what, you know, when I teach practices about this, I pull out my slide and it's like, look, if you signed up, you know, 300 patients at $30 a month, 500, 1,000, which is the holy grail of membership programs. If you ask me, if you get 1,000, like, it's game changing time, right?
Yeah.
Which we have seen practices get up to, you know, 1,000 patients paying $30 a month. You know, they're generating, depending on their price points, you know, $30,000 to $40,000 a month in predictable recurring revenue. So if you can do that, which practices, it's becoming more common, at least from what I am seeing in the industry, they're doing that. But they're not doing that, and they're not setting up these membership programs and just saying, hey, it's going to grow. They're advertising.
Yeah, right? And that's the equalizer right there, right? That's
totally.
Now you're spending that money in advertising.
It's the great equalizer to insurance.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, right?
It totally
and
is.
And I back to that example about patient acquisition cost. So if I take that same $2,700 that you wanted to do a branding piece on direct mail and I do it for a $99 new patient special, uh-huh. I'm probably going to get 20 or 30 new patients off of that. And just say it's 20. Now you got a patient acquisition cost of 135.
Yeah.
So it's just, you just got to be aggressive and be comfortable. And I guess to kind of go back to answer that question, get over that fear.
Yeah.
And be okay. And, people that do that see great results.
Yeah, absolutely. So what success have you seen and what success have you had with advertising and getting fee-for-service patients? And what campaigns work the best?
Yeah, I think we just kind of touched on that because we were talking about that $99 new patient special.
So that's what's working the best out there.
That is by far the best.
Okay.
It really is. And there's other people that say it needs to be 59, 70. I don't care.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to value it a little bit more, value it more. I think just because it's under $100. But look at, so here's part of the issue with that. I have some dentists that have associates. And what they want to do is they'll call me and they'll say, I want to do more implants. So I want to do an implant campaign,
okay,
but I want to get my associate busy with more hygiene. And I'm like, great. But then they're like, I don't want to devalue our practice by doing a $99 new patient special. And I'm like, but you're not devaluing the practice. You're getting more people in. And if you can get people into that associate and then that associate is, convincing them, look, on this dental savings plan, you're going to save 15% on some of these procedures. Now you can really get them to more of those cosmetic, it's like a gateway.
It's a funnel. It's a funnel, right? It's a sales funnel. If you think about it, you get people in the door through the advertising, the $99 patient exam or whatever. Is it patient exam? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I mean,
apparently I'm not paying attention, Ben.
Well, some do exam and X-rays, and some actually do a cleaning. I say just go ahead and do a cleaning.
Just do a cleaning.
Yeah, because some people get frustrated if you come in and they're like, "Oh, this is just an exam and X-ray." And then they think they're going to get their teeth cleaned. And
So do a cleaning, right? A $99 exam cleaning or whatever the price point is.
Yeah.
Get the patients in the door and attracted to your practice. And then once you're there, you want to show them the benefits of signing up for a membership program, right? Where they get all their cleanings and everything, right, that they need, the X-rays, and then show them the discounts that they're going to save if they need a crown or whatever, right? You're bringing them in the funnel and then retaining them, right? Because what most people do, Ben, is they'll do these $99 exams, but then they don't have anything to retain the patient afterwards, right?
Yeah, and that's going back to the difference between marketing and advertising.
Yeah, it's so key.
Yeah, I think you hire marketing, you buy advertising, and it's nice if you've got somebody internally, whether you call it a treatment planning coordinator or somebody that's involved in the community or whatever that is, but you need somebody internally that, and this is a nasty word, you and I were talking about this the other day, but knows how to sell.
A good word.
Yeah. I use it all the time.
Yeah. In dentistry, it's a good word.
Yeah. If you open a business, you got an EIN number. If you go to an accountant, you're a business. So it's very important to understand the halo effect of everything. I know everybody loves the word funnels. I kind of say more of a pathway, but take that person that has that fear and get them in the door, show them they shouldn't be scared of cost. They shouldn't be scared of the type of dentistry you're going to do. Sign them up to a dental savings plan if you can, but at least get them involved in coming back.
Yes.
And so to me, the whole marketing pie is you start with brand awareness, which is usually running an ad. And it ends with this person, you're their brand preference and they're referring you because you want to build a referral practice.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah,
advertising,
absolutely.
Advertising should really just be
the cherry
helping
on the top.
Taking care of any attrition rate. You're going to lose patients here and there. So you want to make sure you're bringing new ones in. But the referrals are obviously your best patients because it's the people you wanted in the practice to begin with.
Sure. Yeah. Fantastic. Great tips. Okay. So what, in your opinion, what's on the horizon as it relates to marketing and advertising that a dentist should be aware of?
Like changes. There's a lot of changes. I think the thing that scares me the most, cause there's not a lot that scares me. I used to think the whole DSOs buying up everything scared me. And then I kind of saw what the underbelly of that looked like. And I'm like, okay, I think the people that have really solid solo practices are going to do well.
True.
Honestly, people that are really good and they both do the same type of dentistry, if those people teamed up, I know that's tough to do, and built like super practices, people love that. Three people in Charlotte that I work with that are that way, they kill it and they love what they do. But the other thing that I think is interesting is people like Aspen putting dental practices in Walgreens, I think, in Florida. That's interesting to me. Yeah, and I think the first appointment's free. So that's certainly marketing just based on location.
Yeah, it's you're attracting the, you know, the patients, and, you know, to get a free cleaning, and then they lock them in somehow, right?
Yeah. And on that, and I'm not trying to say this, that seniors are the only people to go get medication since we're all half drugged anymore, but these people coming out of the pharmacy are probably going to be older people that are a little more price conscious anyway. And speaking of trends, this is where I try to tell my coaching clients, because I handle about 10, 15 clients a month that I do sort of marketing infrastructure and business coaching. But I tell them, like, do not forget about that senior market. And that, yeah, I say seniors,
especially with membership programs.
Yeah. But these baby boomers, because my dad called him a senior, I think, you know, he'd come through the phone and swing away. Not a senior. But that is, think about how big that group's going to be. And it's completely different than seniors before, because they're coming out with a ton of money.
Yeah.
And they're willing to spend it. My stepmom got her great aunt or her aunt implants when she was in a memory care center because, you know, there's issues with losing dentures and things like that. People might think that's crazy to spend that type of money, but she had it. And I just think if you started focusing at least some of your advertising and marketing towards some of, you know, these baby boomers, you can have a great career for the next 20 years. So don't forget about that. The biggest thing I think in advertising and marketing, you just kind of reminded me of it, is social proof.
So
it's gone through a couple changes already. When I got into dentistry, it was, you know, everybody was looking for a special, everybody was discounting it. And that was what I call the Groupon era. Like, oh, would you suggest me running a Groupon? No, I would not.
not in this day and age.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that 2009 to 2013, 14. In the past 5 years, we've been in this huge review era. That's what social proof means now. And I love it. I love BirdEye. I love Podium. I love that they can bring it in. But the issue is, people now are, I'm not saying they don't trust reviews, and I'm not saying you shouldn't worry about it. It's a big deal. But if you have 1,000 five-star reviews, nobody's going to trust that. And people now are just getting in there and reading the negative reviews to see if it's something
authentic
that's problematic for them. So just people aren't trusting reviews as much. But here's the biggest problem, and this is where we're headed, and I don't really have a good answer for this. Let me see if I can think of it. So here's a good example. We went to, I have a 9-month-old daughter. We go to the pediatrician for her 9-month checkup. And, you know, just asking questions. And so I'm asking them, like, you know, we're starting to incorporate food. What about, when should we start worrying about nut allergies, or can we incorporate nuts in her diet? What's that? And he laid out a plan, explained it in great detail. And I was like, okay, I get this now. I understand it. And my wife's kind of shaking her head. And my wife's one of these that never, you know, lives our life out on Facebook or posts things or, you know, does polls. But she gets home and immediately, like, gets on her mommy group, which probably has like 7,000 members in Charlotte, right? And she's like, had a conversation today with a pediatrician, just wanted to get everybody's opinions on nuts and, you know, when that should be. And I mean, dude, it's like people are, oh my God, I don't know what kind of pediatrician that is. They should have his license pulled. I'm not, can you believe you're still with your husband at this point? I'd give my kids cigarettes before I'd give them nuts. And it's just, but she is going to believe that over what the pediatrician said.
Social proof.
And that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
Is we want that validation from peers. And I think that you have to be conscious of that, because anybody could get into one of those mommy groups and say, you know, this is maybe an extreme example, but you made them feel uncomfortable in the chair some way or another. And maybe you didn't even see that patient at all. Maybe that was something they heard from somebody else that was a total myth to begin with. But once it's in that mommy group, or once it's in these tribal groups, as I call them, that's it.
Interesting. So, Yeah, that's interesting. So the Facebook groups, the local groups, because I mean, my wife's part of some Facebook local groups here, and I mean, it may be smart, if you're a dentist to be a part of some of these groups and communicate, right, and educate as well, right, because you can help influence a lot of people just through groups.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I've been trying to wrap my head around how you market inside of that.
Yeah,
and really. I think if you're a female dentist and a mom, you could probably get in there gain some traction.
Yeah.
But, I'm not trying to be sexist about it. As a male, you might have
to. Yeah, I don't go and join mommy groups, Ben, is if that's what you're
trying
to say.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like,
I'm not even in a daddy group.
I'm not even in a daddy group. So
yeah.
Men and women are just different.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to talk about before we close the episode here. You and I were talking about the investor mindset, right? And this totally has everything to do with what you're doing, what I'm doing with dental membership programs and our software and your advertising company. I love the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. It's one of my favorite books.
Yeah.
It's actually the book that I started reading when I was at the dental lab when I was really, really young in my early 20s. And it got me hooked on business and entrepreneurship. I loved it. So that I blame that book. But
I've got about 10 I blame.
That's one of the 10 or 20. But in that book it talks about we're talking about this in at Barnes & Noble. We're talking that I feel like practice owners should have a more investor mindset, right? Because you own your business, which is an asset or an investment, really, if you will. Mm-hmm. And in Rich Dad Poor Dad, he talks about that rich people invest into assets, things that keep giving them money, and poor people invest into liabilities, things that take away their money, like cars, boats, vacations, or even our own homes, right? Because we're paying money out for our mortgages. And I think that and myself is included, right? I'm going to include myself in here to better think this way. But when it comes to our businesses, your practice, my software company, your advertising company, Ben, we should have a more investor mindset, right? When it comes to advertising, don't think of advertising as an expense. Right. Unless it's not returning for you. Right. But if it's returning for you, it's an investment. It's helping improve your business, helping drive cash flow into your business. The same thing goes to, our product Boom Cloud helps practices organize and automate membership programs and generate predictable recurring revenue every month. Assets are things that generate revenue every month or every year for your practice or for any business.
Yep.
So in my mind, I think with advertising, with membership programs, my software has a cost to it. Like I'm going to be transparent here. It's not free. It costs money, but it helps generate predictable recurring revenue of your practice. Ben's service costs money. It's not free, but it helps generate new patients and new revenue, to the practice. So I think it's very wise for practices to have more of an investor mindset when it comes to their business and think, hey, I'm gonna invest money into this advertising company and it's gonna help me generate more cash flow and more membership signups and it's all gonna generate revenue for me, right? So I think practice owners should be more like that. I've spoken to a handful of practice owners, primarily about membership programs, Ben, right? And sometimes they get caught up with the cost of doing it, right? But they don't realize the investment that over time that's gonna happen, right? Because I see practice all the time hitting 15K a month in predictable revenue, 20, 30, 40K in predictable recurring revenue every month. So when they're so hung up on the cost of it, and even the cost of marketing it, advertising it.
Marketing's all of it, right?
Marketing's all of it. So even the cost of like advertising, they think, well, this is just going to cost me so much money, but it's also going, that's true, but it's actually an investment, right? It's going to generate more revenue and more predictable revenue for your practice. So it's an investment. It's an asset. The rich buy things that or invest into things, buy things that generate, you know, revenue for them and not expenses, right, or liabilities. So that's my final thought there, Ben. And so yeah, throw me your thoughts.
Yeah, I'll add that in because I think one of the things we were talking about was, you know, I can sit down with a financial advisor that works with dentists. Sure. And they'll tell me that a dentist writes them a check or it's deducted from their account every month for market or wherever they're putting it. Uh-huh. And they never think about it, never question it, never do it. But they won't do that on the advertising side. And I promise you, you're going to make more money on your business than you are investing in the stock market. I invest in the stock market, so I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't have a Series 7. But recently,
but the returns, you're right. The returns of a business are far greater than the stock market, right?
And so one of the greatest returns I've seen, so the biggest struggle we have, whether you're marketing or advertising, and anybody you talk to in dental marketing is probably going to say this, is we can bring the horse to water and we can get calls and we can get people to email or chat or text, whatever it is, to your office. If somebody's not answering the phone because it's lunchtime or it's 9 p.m. or they don't check the email till Wednesday and there's 3-4 leads in there that they missed or whatever, that whole entire advertising campaign was wasted. And so we kind of like, we have to figure that out. And so we kind of teamed up and built out this virtual front desk. So we, for our clients, answer all the calls, all the emails, all the texts and all the chats so that we know we're putting this appointment on your calendar. And so we're fully accountable at this point. If you don't get dental patients in, that's on us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, that has worked great just simply because it's taking a headache away. But a lot of practices will be like, no, we do great at the front desk. We don't need that type of help.
And I'm do they have the data to back that up? That's what I'm going to say.
Right. This is only maybe $300-$500. Do this because now your conversion rate that was 23% could be 80%.
Yeah.
And now instead of getting, you know, 10 new patients, you might get 30 new patients. It's that big of a deal. But that money mindset, they do it with everything. And I think the successful ones understand what's valuable and what's not.
Absolutely. Awesome, Ben. I appreciate you hanging out with me on the episode today. So if a practice wants to reach out to you and learn more about your services and talk about advertising and how you can help them in their practice, what's the best place for them to go?
I know you're probably gonna think this is crazy. I tell people to call or text me.
No, that's fine. I do that too.
So yeah, I mean, I think that's if you text me, I'm going to respond pretty quickly. Not to sound like, you know, a 20-year-old that's playing.
you're just on your phone playing all day and you're like, oh, I text.
But no, so my number is, it's area code 704-907-3586, or you can send an email to info@dentalinbound. I've got my own site, benshaver.com. There's contact information there, as well as dentalinbound.com if you want to check out what campaigns we have. We also have a link there where you can go and get demographic and psychographic information about your zip code. That's completely free. A lot of people like that because that's kind of the beginning of how we do a campaign, is to see what's available. So
very awesome. So go check out Ben and his company and everything he's doing. He's fantastic. I enjoy every time I see Ben, I enjoy hanging out with him. So I would imagine that you know, all you practice owners out there that are needing help would enjoy him and his services. So thanks again for being on our show, Ben. We hope everybody has a rockin' day.